I'm always waiting for the magic to occur here. I still don't trust the technology that much and kind of miss my old overhead projector. Okay, it says it's loading. There we go. Phew, it did. My name again is Diana Burgess-Vinn. I'm with Public Health Seattle in King County, here to talk today about the Healthy and Active Rainier Valley Coalition. I'd like to say a special thanks to my colleagues in the coalition, Ruth Egger and Mary Becker, and also to one of my colleagues, Jim Krieger, who helped me a lot with this presentation. No disclosures, I'm broke. Here's some of the coalition members. We are working a lot with the local health clinics, with parks, with non-governmental organizations, with local businesses, and other places in the Rainier Valley. So where is the Rainier Valley? This is a map of Seattle. How many of you have been to Seattle before? Oh my gosh, okay, the Tourism Bureau would be thrilled. How many of you have been to the Rainier Valley? Great. Okay, next time you guys go to Seattle, you got to check out the valley. It's the greatest spot in Seattle. So our demographics, we're supposed to be the most diverse zip code in all of Seattle. I don't know if that's really true, but I do know it's an extremely diverse community. Fortunately, our health statistics are not quite so glowing. You can see that about a quarter of the population is obese, and a lot of people have general or poor health, general poor health. Chronic disease rates, diabetes is higher than the rest of King County, heart disease as well. So the history, why in the world did we decide to do this coalition? Well, what happened was I've lived in the area for many years. Some other people that work in local organizations had also lived in the area for many years, and we all got together and we said, let's do something really fun. Let's do a health event. And we all were being paid by healthcare agencies, and so we decided to do something called Columbia City Walks. We got everybody out. We had all the clinics. We had all the local gyms. We got King County Executive Ron Sims. We invited the mayor, but he didn't come. But we had everybody else there. It was a great day. At the end of the day, we were all exhausted, and we thought, did we really cause behavior change in our community? No. And so what we did was we contacted all the people who had participated, organizations and community members, and said, do you want to keep working on this issue beyond just one day? And much to our surprise and joy, people said yes. And so at this point, we have 73 agencies, community-based organizations, individuals, clinics, and businesses. And we meet every other month. And then on the off months, we do evening community meetings. The governing coalition is, there's a 10-person steering committee, and then we also have a general body, and they vote at meetings and then also via email. So our goal is basically to increase physical activity and nutrition in culturally appropriate ways. And the coalition support, it's about 10 hours a week of my time, and then it's time from members for meetings and other specific projects. One of our main goals is integration of services. We really try and work together on joint program development for the Valley. We try and have coordinated but independent components, and we try and refer clients to each other as well. We had a small grant project, and we had grants up to $3,000. 14 grants were awarded. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to kind of go through some of the aspects of how we do the nuts and bolts of our work, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the specific projects. So one of the projects that we've been doing has been community kitchens, and this is really fun. And if anybody would like to talk more about this, I'll talk with you later. But basically, it's getting together, and it's having people cook meals, and then they take the food home and they freeze it. And we've been doing them a little bit over a year, and we have people from all different backgrounds that come, and like we'll make Vietnamese food, or we'll make Laotian food, or we'll make Mexican food, and then you take it home and freeze it, and it's great to be able to pull it out and have those meals. So the first thing we do in project selection is we look for a community need. We find an idea that worked elsewhere and shamelessly steal it. This one actually was being used up in Vancouver, Canada. We do a lit review to see if there's evidence to support the program and to see what worked and what didn't work in other places. We have a member discussion on pros and cons. We find member champions. So we try and find who in the coalition is really, really, really into cooking, who can make it part of their work plan, and then we look for local partners outside of the coalition. So like for the community kitchens, we're partnering with food banks because they have polenta and they've got other stuff that people don't take, but then we can use in the kitchen. Next is project design. We did a healthy restaurant initiative to have healthy menu choices. Again, community input, key stakeholders, I'm nervous. And with us, the key stakeholders were the restaurant owners and then people that went to the restaurants. Goals and timeline involve students. We have had so much good luck working with students. Finding resources in the community, we were able to get a lot of community nutritionists to donate their time for this project, carry it out, got to evaluate, and then retool and celebrate. And we always try and celebrate. Evaluation. As all of you, I'm sure, know, trying to figure out appropriate evaluation methods for community-based projects around physical activity and nutrition can be extremely difficult. So this is something we're always struggling with. What we've wound up doing for the most part is looking at numbers served, doing surveys on behavior change, and then, of course, anecdotal information. ShopRounds are point-of-purchase grocery store education, and it's teaching people how to read labels in the grocery store. And we've done about 200 ShopRound tours, and they've been in English, Vietnamese, and Cambodian. We do pre- and post-surveys immediately around the time of the tour. Then we also do them at 3 months and 6 months, and then we have anecdotal information. And so far, it seems like there is some positive behavior change around less sodium, more fiber. Reach into the community. We've reached about 1,500 to 2,000 people with our direct programs. And then we're always trying to leverage. We always are trying to see what other programs are out there that are being sponsored by the county, by the city, by the state, that we can kind of tag on to and we can leverage. We're trying to move more into advocacy, and we've done a lot of work with a local church, and we started off doing a play called Tres Historias de la Vida, which was a really interesting theater of the oppressed style play written by patients with diabetes and actually acted in by the diabetes patients as well. And we found that that was a wonderful way to gain a lot of rapport in working with the church. And what we did next was we moved to pedestrian safety because they had a huge interest in that. And so we were able to work with church members, coach them, and they wrote a letter, and then they came to city council, testified, and we were able to get a crossing light that's supposed to be installed in 2009 if the budget holds. Policy. We're also trying to do more around policy. A lot of HARVAC members came and testified at the Board of Health, and Seattle does now have a menu labeling policy. We're also trying to do the healthy food at meetings and have members have healthy foods as well. Have a lot of outreach materials. We have a newsletter. We try and have brochures for the different programs that we're sponsoring. And we found these are really, really useful as far as getting community buy-in, also agency buy-in. So if we have people that are participating in the coalition and they meet with their supervisor, they can say to their supervisor, look, this is what I'm doing through the coalition. And lots of times they're able to get a little bit more time to work with us. Successes, we've definitely had an increase in social capacity, working on delivery of consistent health messages. We've done a ton of matchmaking, like, oh, you want to do community gardens? Well, there's this person over here, and then there's this person, there's this agency, and there's this city group. And so been able to bring people together that want to do specific projects. We're also currently seen as a go-to group for health issues. Right now, Seattle is redesigning a lot of its bus services because we're finally, after many years, getting light rail. And so we're working with the city really closely on how to make sure there's walkability and bikeability involved. Lessons learned. For process, you absolutely have to have a paid facilitator to keep members engaged and keep projects moving forward. Without having somebody that's kind of bugging people like, hey, how's that going? Things tend to fall apart because everybody's plate is so full. Again, students are a great help. streamline your grant process if you're giving out any money. We had a very cumbersome King County grant process that was very frustrating for community members. You can also do a lot with a little bit of money. Lessons learned on engagement. It's really important to outreach and listen to everyone. Take pictures like crazy. Just take pictures, take pictures, take pictures. Participants love the pictures. Member people love the pictures. It's great for media. It's just as many pictures as you can get. Work with diverse community champions and keep re-engaging people with fun, interesting, and relevant programs. Couldn't resist putting in just a few more pictures. These are some other events that we did. We've been showing the Unnatural Causes video in the community. We've been doing a lot of community walks, and we were able to shut down a major arterial and get people to get out and just play in the street, which was a lot of fun. We've also been doing community gardens and doing community celebrations with seniors around physical activity. And we did a walk with the Mariners, but the Mariners weren't there. It was just the Moose. And here is my contact information. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker is Stacy Cunningham, and she oversees the Women's Infant and Fetal Health Work at the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs. Before that, Ms. Cunningham was Vice President of the National Black Child Development Institute, a non-profit children's advocacy organization where she had been for 9 years. And she served as the director of the 4 of the organization's primary programs and projects, entering the College Zone National Affiliate Network, Workplace Giving Campaigns, and Child Health Talk. Ms. Cunningham's expertise spans from fund development to program management. And over the past years, Ms. Cunningham has focused her interest in the areas of child maltreatment, maternal and childhood obesity, nutrition, and health communication. And she's also committed to helping families achieve optimal health. And she has a master's degree in social work from Howard University, focusing on child and family welfare, mental health, as well as a master's in public health, focusing on maternal and child health from George Washington University.
Good afternoon, everyone. While this is loading, I'd just like to let you know I'm very